A husband and wife were driving down the road one day, and a police officer pulled over the husband and noticed that he wasn't wearing his seatbelt. So he said, "Why aren't you wearing your seatbelt?" The husband said, "Well, I'm very sorry. I always wear it. I just forgot to wear it this one time." His wife spoke up and said, "Officer, he never wears his seatbelt. I tell him to wear it all the time and he never listens to me." Then the husband said, Then the police officer said, "Show me your driver's license." The man said, "Oh, I'm sorry, officer, I forgot my license today." The wife speaks up and says, "Officer, he never carries his driver's license. I tell him that all the time. In fact, I don't even think he has a driver's license." The husband gets so angry, he says, "Quiet down, woman." The police officer said to the woman, "Does he always speak to you like that?" The woman said, "No, only when he's drunk." So we would call that an example of anger, which is not a good kind of anger. As you know, there is anger that is sinful, but then there is righteous anger, or something called just anger. So when we take a look at the cleansing of the temple, we have to deal with that question of anger. Just exactly what is anger? When is it acceptable? When can we use our anger? But when does it become sinful? Just a few of the interesting points in today's gospel. See, the Lord cleanses the temple of the money changers. And we see that when you look at this, the Lord did not lose his temper. He used his temper. Do you see the difference? It's okay to use your temper when you have to make a point, but don't lose your temper. For example, there is such a thing as righteous anger or just indignation when you see the innocent being harmed, or you see acts of terrorism or the terrible persecution of Christians and places in the world. Yes, it brings up within us a righteous anger, which is a good thing. Sometimes, you know, parents have to show anger if their child runs into the street and is about to be hit by a car, and the parent pulls the child back, and the parent has to show a form of anger towards the situation. Or if a child is about to burn his hand by placing it on the hot stove or an open flame, the parent has to show emotion, to show a righteous kind of anger. So in today's gospel, the Lord shows a righteous anger, and he doesn't lose his temper. He uses his temper to make a point, to drive out the money changers. He overturns their table, the tables. When you look at today's gospel, we see that this cleansing of the temple occurred at the feast of the Passover of the Jews. This was the most important feast for the Jews of the entire year. The historian Josephus says that 2.5 million pilgrims would come to Jerusalem every year for the Feast of Passover. Imagine, 2.5 million people would travel into Jerusalem. Every male over 19 was required to go to Jerusalem and give a temple offering. A half a shekel that would be given to the temple for its upkeep as a donation to God. So the Lord himself went to the Feast of the Passover at the temple. The Lord obeyed the traditional Jewish laws. But when he found what he found in the temple area really upset him and shocked him, because the area in the temple, which was known as the court of the Gentiles, was filled with obviously sheep, oxen, doves, pigeons, money changers. And the court of the Gentiles was the only place that a non-Jew could go within the temple itself. If you look at a diagram of what the temple looked like, you had inside the temple, you had the court of the Gentiles. Then you had the court of women, then the court of the Israelite men, then the court of the priests, and then the Holy of Holies. So the only place that a Gentile who was searching for God, who had a longing in his heart to pray in the temple, could go was this area known as the court of the Gentiles. But it was filled with so much chaos and noise. As one author said, The temple authorities and the Jewish traders were making the court of the Gentiles into an uproar and a rabble where no one could pray. The lowing of the oxen, the bleating of the sheep, the cooing of the doves, the shouts of the hucksters, the rattle of the coins, the voices raised in bargaining disputes, all these combined to make the court of the Gentiles a place where no one could worship God and where no one could truly pray. So that is perhaps the first reason why the Lord cleansed the temple. He wanted his Father's house to be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves, as Scripture says. So he did drive out the oxen, the sheep, the doves, and the money changers. And again, if you read history, you'll see that the other issues, the other problems with what was going on in those days is that when people would travel, normally they would bring their own sheep or oxen or doves or pigeons with them. But the high priest, the chief priest, would have inspectors, and they would inspect all of these offerings, and they would reject many of them, perhaps most of them, so that the person would then be required or obliged to buy from their own approved animals in the temple, which were, quote unquote, without blemish. And a dove that might cost the equivalent of 50 cents in your own village would be charged, $5 would be charged inside the temple for that. And the person would have no choice, because if their own dove was rejected, they had no choice but to be extorted to pay high prices to get one that would be acceptable for a sacrifice. And the same thing happened with lambs, oxen, etc. And then the other aspect of this was the money changers themselves, because people would be traveling, these 2.5 million people would be traveling from many parts of the known world. They'd be bringing foreign currency from Rome, from Athens, from Tyre and Sidon, places like this. And so when people would bring their coins, the coins would not be accepted because they had an image of the emperor on those pagan coins, and they would not be accepted as an offering to God in the temple. And so they had to go through the money changers, and they again would charge extreme high rates to change your coins into acceptable Jewish coinage and not the pagan coinage. So these were some of the reasons why the Lord was upset. Yes, people wanted to bring their own animals to be offered in the temple. They brought their coins, but again, the Lord was very upset by what he called the den of thieves, of how it was turned into an unholy thing. So it says the Lord made a whip of cords and he drove them out of the temple area. So again, he used his temper, he used his anger to make a point and said, my Father's house must be a house of prayer. What upset the people as well, especially the scribes and Pharisees, was that he called it my Father's house. Here claiming to be God, claiming to be the Son of God. He called it my Father's house. He's here claiming to be the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one. So again, that's what was so upsetting for the religious leaders of his day. And then the Lord said something so shocking, it would even be later up brought up at his trial. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Of course, they misunderstood. They thought he was referring to the temple that had taken 46 years to build. The Lord was referring to the temple of his own body, that the Lord Jesus, his body, was the temple of God, the temple par excellence. Jesus' body would be the place of true worship. In 70 AD, the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jews no longer have any sacrifice. But Jesus continues. In a few moments, we'll be receiving the true temple, the body of Christ, in Holy Communion. So Jesus is the true temple, the temple that can never be destroyed. Yes, the Jewish temple was destroyed in 70 AD, but the true religion, the true temple, is Jesus Christ. He is the true temple of God. And lastly, I think the third and last thing we should take from today's gospel, besides, you know, what is righteous anger versus sinful anger, and that the true temple of God is Jesus Christ, not a building, The third thing is that you and I are temples of God. You and I are temples of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes, "Do you not realize that your bodies are temples of God, dwelling places of the Most Holy Spirit?" In baptism, we receive the divine life into the temple of our soul. When we sin, we need to invite Jesus into our life to drive out the money changers that we've allowed into our life. These little money changers that are within our soul need to be driven out by Christ. So when we go to confession, we give the Lord permission. We say, "Jesus, come into my soul, come into my life, and drive out the sinfulness. Drive out the little money changers from our soul." What are these money changers? Well, they are the seven capital sins, which are the root of all sins: pride, avarice, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, and sloth. Those are the seven capital sins, the root of all sins. So when we go to confession, we give Jesus permission to cleanse the temple of our body. So again, we're called to holiness. We're called to a life of holiness, that our bodies are sacred. If you want to read some beautiful things, read St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body, his talks that he gave on his Wednesday audiences for a period of many years have been put together. But it's all about the theology of the body, that our bodies are so good, so holy, so sacred, that we have to preserve the purity and holiness of our bodies, because they are temples of God and dwelling places of the Holy Spirit.